giver of this life. Hallelujah, you are Savior, beginning and the end. Your kindness is my friend. In your mercy, you have saved us. Jesus, you are stronger.
Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey. Great crowds of people thronged the streets, waving palm branches to welcome him. The people shouted, "Hosanna," and laid their cloaks and palm branches from the nearby trees in his path. Jesus enters Jerusalem riding a donkey rather than a horse that signifies the peaceful nature of his entry. People are expecting a king and surrender themselves to his authority by taking their cloaks off and laying it on the ground. The palm branches signified the expectation of a military victory of their king over the occupying Romans. Jesus is entering Jerusalem to bring peace and forgiveness to the world by taking the sins of the world upon himself, a spiritual king. People are seeking a worldly and physical king.
As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there, with a colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to the daughter of Zion, see your king come to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Disciples went and did as Jesus has instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowd answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. The blind and the lame came to him at the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did, and the children shouting in the temple area, 'Hosanna to the Son of David,' they were indignant. 'Do you hear what these children are saying?' They asked him." "Yes," replied Jesus. "Have you ever read from the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise?" And he left them and went on to the city of Bethany, where he spent the night.
Then one of the 12, who was called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priest and said,
"What will you give me if I betray him to you?"
They paid him 30 pieces of silver, and from that moment he began to look for an opportunity to betray Jesus. On the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying,
"Where do you want us to make the preparations for you to eat the Passover?"
Jesus said,
"Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says, my time is near. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.'"
So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover meal. When it was evening, Jesus took his place with the 12, and while they were eating, he said,
"Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me."
And they became greatly distressed, and they began to say to him, one after another,
"Surely not I, Lord."
He answered,
"The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that one by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better that one not to have been born."
Judas, who betrayed him, said,
"Surely not I, Rabbi."
He replied,
"You have said so."
While they were eating, Jesus took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, gave it to the disciples, and said,
"Take, eat, this is my body."
Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, saying,
"Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will never again drink of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom."
We are now about to observe the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. This table of the Lord is open to all fellow Christians. And although no one should partake of these sacred emblems in penitence or without faith in Christ, we invite all who are sincerely seeking him to receive from his table in the assurance that he who came into the world to be the Savior of all will receive you as his own. On the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is given for you." As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. May we pray.
Our Heavenly Father, on this holy day of Palm Sunday, we ask you to bless this bread, which we are about to receive in remembrance of his Son, Jesus Christ, in whose triumphal entry into the city of Jerusalem and final road to sacrifice on the cross for us we honor this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
After they'd eaten, Jesus took the cup. He said, "This cup is a new covenant, sealed in my blood. As often as you drink of it, do this in remembrance of me." As Jesus shared the cup with one another, we share his cup with one another. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Pray.
Lord, it is Palm Sunday. We want to celebrate. We want to wave the palms and watch Jesus come in triumph. But we know we're sharing communion, and that reminds us so strongly that the real celebration comes next week. And in between is the price you pay. Help us always remember that it was not easy. If you did this for us, you cared so much about us. Let your son die on the cross. We celebrate the resurrection next week. Today we remember what Jesus did for us. Help us all do this. We ask in his name.
Thank you.
said, drink it, all of you. As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim our Lord's death until he comes. And Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me.
When they had sung the hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them,
you will all become deserters because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go ahead of you to Galilee.
Peter said to him,
though all become deserters because of you, I will never desert you.
Jesus said to him,
truly I tell you, this very night, before the cock crows, you will deny me three times.
Peter replied,
even though I must die with you, I will not deny you.
And so said all the disciples. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples,
sit here while I go over there and pray.
He took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and agitated. Then he said to them,
I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and stay awake with me.
And going a little farther, he threw himself on the ground and prayed,
my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not what I want, but what you want.
Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter,
so, could you not stay awake with me 1 hour? Stay awake and pray that you may not come into this time of trial. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak.
Again, he went away for a second time and prayed,
my Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done.
Again, he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for a third time, saying the same words. Then he came to the disciples and said to them,
are you still sleeping and taking your rest? See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand.
While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. With him a large crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying,
the one I will kiss is the man. Arrest him.
At once he came up to Jesus and said,
greetings, Rabbi,
and kissed him. Jesus said to him,
friend, do what you are here to do.
Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and arrested him. Suddenly, one of those with Jesus put his hand on his sword, drew it, and struck the slave of the high priest, cutting off his ear. Then Jesus said to him,
put your sword back into its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled, which say it must happen in this way?
At that hour, Jesus said to the crowds,
have you come out with swords and clubs to arrest me as though I were a bandit? Day after day, I sat in the temple teaching, and you did not arrest me. But all this has taken place so that the scriptures of the prophets may be fulfilled.
Then all the disciples deserted him and fled. Those who had arrested Jesus took him to Caiaphas, the high priest, in whose house the scribes and the elders had gathered. But Peter was following him at a distance, as far as the courtyard of the high priest. And going inside, he sat with the guards in order to see how this would end. Now the chief priest and the whole council were looking for false testimony against Jesus so that they might put him to death. But they found none, though many false witnesses came forward. At last, two came forward and said,
"This fellow said, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days.'"
The high priest stood up and said,
"Have you no answer? What is this that testify against you?"
But Jesus was silent. Then the high priest said to him,
"I put you under oath before the living God. Tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God."
Jesus said to him,
"You have said so, but I tell you, from now on you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven."
Then the high priest tore his clothes and said,
"He has blasphemed. Why do we still need witnesses? You have heard his blasphemy. What is your verdict?"
They answered,
"He deserves death."
Then they spat in his face and struck him, and someone slapped him, saying,
"Prophesy to us, you Messiah? Who is it that struck you?"
Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard. A servant girl came to him and said,
"You also were the Jesus, the Galilean."
But he denied it before all of them, saying,
"I do not know what you are talking about."
When he went out to the porch, another servant girl saw him, and she said to the bystanders,
"This man was with Jesus of Nazareth."
Again, he denied it with an oath,
"I do not know this man."
After a little while, the bystanders came up and said to Peter,
"Certainly you are also one of them, for your accent betrays you."
Then he began to curse, and he swore an oath,
"I do not know the man."
And at that moment, the cock crowed. Then Peter remembered what Jesus had said,
"Before the cock crows, you will deny me 3 times.
And he went out and wept bitterly. When morning came, all the chief priests and the elders of the people conferred together against Jesus in order to bring about his death. They bound him, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate, the governor. When Judas, his betrayer, saw that Jesus was condemned, he repented and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priest and the elders. He said,
"I have sinned by betraying innocent blood."
But they said,
"What is it that to us? See it to yourself."
Throwing down the pieces of silver in the temple, he departed, and he went out and hanged himself. But the chief priest, taking the pieces of silver, said,
"It is not lawful to put them in the treasury, since they are blood money."
After conferring together, they used them to buy the potter's field as a place to bury foreigners. For this reason, that field has been called the field of blood to this day. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah.
And they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of the one whom a price has been set, on whom some of the people of Israel had set a price, and they gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord commanded me.
Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him,
"Are you the king of the Jews?"
Jesus said,
"You say so."
But when he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he did not answer. Then Pilate said to him,
"Do you not hear how many accusations they have made against you?"
But Jesus gave him no answer, not even to a single charge, so that the governor was greatly amazed. Now at the festival, the governor was accustomed to release a prisoner for the crowd, anyone whom they wanted. At that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Jesus Barabbas. So after they had gathered, Pilate said to them,
"Whom do you want me to release to you, Jesus Barabbas or Jesus who is called the Messiah?"
For he realized that it was out of jealousy they had handed him over. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him,
"Have nothing to do with the innocent man, for today I have suffered a great deal because of a dream about him."
Now the chief priest and the elders persuaded the crowds to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus killed. The governor said to them again,
"Which of the two do you want me to release for you?"
And they said,
"Barabbas."
Pilate said to them,
Then what should I do with Jesus, who is called the Messiah?"
All of them said,
"Let him be crucified."
Then he asked,
"Why? What evil has he done?"
But they shouted all the more,
"Let him be crucified."
So when Pilate saw that he could do nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took some water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying,
"I am innocent of this man's blood. See it to yourselves."
Then the people as a whole answered,
"His blood be on us and on our children."
So he released Barabbas for them, and after flogging Jesus, he handed him over to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole cohort around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and after twisting some thorns into a crown, they put it on his head. They put a reed in his right hand and knelt before him and mocked him, saying,
"Hail, King of the Jews!"
They spat on him, and they took the reed and struck him on the head. After mocking him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him. As they went out, they came upon a man from Cyrene named Simon. They compelled this man to carry his cross. And when they had come to a place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull, they offered him wine to drink mixed with gall. But he tasted it, and he would not drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his clothes among themselves by casting lots. Then they sat down and kept watch over him. Over his head, they put the charge against him, which read,
"This is Jesus, King of the Jews."
Then two bandits were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by derided him, shaking their heads and saying,
"You who would not destroy the temple and built it in 3 days, save yourselves. You are the Son of God. Come down from the cross."
In the same way, the chief priest also, along with the scribes and the elders, were mocking him, saying,
"He saved others. He cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross now, and we will believe him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now. If he wants to, for he said, 'I am God's son.'"
The bandits who were crucified with him also taunted him in the same way. From noon on, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. At about 3:00 in the afternoon, Jesus cried in a loud voice,
my God, why have you forsaken me?"
When some of the bystanders heard it, they said,
"This man is calling for Elijah."
At once, one of them ran and got a sponge, filled it with sour wine, put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink. But the other said,
"Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him."
Then Jesus cried again with a loud voice and breathed his last. At that moment, the curtain in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. After his resurrection, they came out of the tombs and entered the holy city and appeared to many. Now when the centurion and those with him who were keeping watch over Jesus saw the earthquake and what took place, they were terrified and said,
"Truly, this man was God's son."
Many women were also there, looking on from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee and had provided for him. Among them were Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who was also a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be given to him. So Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn in the rock. Then he rolled a great stone to the door of the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there, sitting opposite the tomb. The next day, that is, after the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said,
"Sir, we remember what that impostor said while he was still alive. After 3 days, I will rise again. Therefore, command the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may go and steal him away. And tell the people, he has been raised from the dead, and the last deception would be worse than the first."
Pilate said to them,
"You have a guard of soldiers? Go, make it as secure as you can."
So they went with the guard and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone.
above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man. You were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth. Crucified, laid behind a stone, you live to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me after. Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what. Laid behind a stone, you live to die, rejected.